Okay, so we're here today. This is episode one of the Butcher Pop. I can't do the name.
I like Butcher Shop Cast, but not if you can't say it.
I can say it, but I always fumble over it. Do you think it's okay?
Butcher Shop Cast.
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 I think it's fine. I mean, it's
people know how to say Butcher Shop, and they can say
yeah.
Butcher Shop Cast.
Butcher Shop Cast.
Like, take a second. It's taking us a second, but hey, it'll make them remember if they have to.
We're getting together. We're going to do the first episode of the Butcher Shop Cast. We have Suburbanot here with us.
Hey.
We have DMZ.
Hello.
And I'm Momus. And today, our first topic today is birth control. Now, for whatever reason, in 2012, we are having a major existential cultural battle over whether or not women should be allowed to have sex without risk of pregnancy.
Right.
Now, I don't know about you guys, but to me, this seems just absurd.
I mean, do we want to jump into, like, we're specifically talking about Rush Limbaugh's comments.
We're going to get there. We're going to get to Rush Limbaugh's comments. That's really what we all want to talk about because it's happened within the last week. But let's do a quick rundown of what's all happened that's brought this issue that has been solved in the 60s. That, I mean, when you have 99% of people have taken it at some point in time, it is completely accepted in culture. But first, let's go back to what Obama did. What's the bill? Okay, so the first thing Obama did, or that started this whole brouhaha, was he wanted hospitals with a religious affiliation to provide access of birth control to their employees free of charge.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right. Now, you know, that to me, it seems not unreasonable. You know, it's not forcing people to buy birth control. It's not forcing religious people to provide it in their churches or anything like that. But, you know, a hospital treats all people. You know, if a Christian scientist wanted to be involved in their local community church to help people that were ill, they should be able to do that and not, you know, also impose their own belief of medicine on that church as well, or on that hospital as well.
I mean, if that's what people were, if that's what he was trying to do, if this was a case of cancer medication or AIDS medication or anything else, anything that, you know, quote unquote treats an illness, this argument, I mean, he'd be a complete social pariah immediately.
Sure.
You'd be like, this guy is basically advocating that people, you know, essentially die or have a worse quality of living by denying them this medication. But because he's saying it with birth control, which has this, just because it has a history, like, I mean, at this point, I think we're arguing about it because it's tradition.
Right.
You argue about birth control when election time comes around.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's one of the topics that Americans vote on.
And the election is a perfect thing to bring up because I really think that there really isn't a big deal here.
It's
this would not be even an issue if there wasn't an election this year, if there wasn't so much hatred of Obama, because, like, if we've all both read, is the Catholic bishops had prepared for this fight, this big brouhaha in public, for 7 months before this. They never talked about it really in public, but they had some meetings about it. There's stuff that has been leaked that has shown that on their agendas, they're preparing for this birth control battle with Obama related to the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare.
Right.
So that this has been a pre-planned battle. So I totally agree.
Why are they so interested?
Because this can keep Obama from getting elected.
Well,
that's essentially. Yeah. I mean,
They don't want to lower their tax rate? Oh, wait. They don't pay taxes.
Yeah. No.
Right. What else would they gain from this?
There are liberal candidates who have lost on this issue before.
Yes.
Who have lost on abortion, who have lost on birth control. Right. That's all they're thinking.
If you've watched over the summer with the parade of clown characters that have been in the Republican primary. One after another. They're really grasping at straws. They don't have a big argument against it. I mean, the economy is improving. So now that the economy is improving, they can't beat Obama over the head.
And they're going to plan B?
They're going to plan B's and C's and D's. And this one's got to be plan
Something's
Z.
Something's
got to
be.
I mean, honestly, birth control of all friggin' things. So, I mean, but what's crazy about this is we have these Catholic priests, you know, do this. We have the religious institutions freaking out all about this birth control thing that churches provide. So then Obama comes back with a compromise, right?
Right.
Right. So he comes back with this compromise and he says, all right, we'll cut the church out of the equation here. We'll add a middleman, the insurance companies, and they'll provide the birth control to
the actual employer.
These employers. The insurance company will provide it to the, you know, they
employer.
Will,
and
they will have to reach out to the employees and let them know that it's available for free, and the employees will go to the insurance company and get it indirectly from the hospital. Now, the hospital technically is, or the church is still going to funnel money to the insurance companies.
Right.
But then the insurance companies will divvy it out, and the hospital has no say and no direct
moral. It's
not
directly from church.
They don't have any moral responsibility for providing it to people.
Right. The church is not paying directly for birth control.
That's right. So then we do all this, and then all of a sudden, it's still being talked about. It's not good enough. The Catholic bishops are throwing nuts. Now, the nurses that are in the hospitals that are working this, they're like, that compromise is perfect. For us, it's perfect because, one, you know, a lot of them realize that this is a legitimate medication. This is not some sort of radical, crazy, anti-morality pill.
The buddy.
No, I mean.
But then, you know, that's when you get Foster Freeze coming in, and he starts saying things like, well, I mean, obviously he meant this as a joke, and we talked about how this isn't a funny joke at all, but saying that, you know, in his day, birth control was a lot cheaper, so, you know, women could just put aspirin between their legs, basically saying if women didn't have sex, they don't need birth control.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
So, you know, my question is then, is that back in his day, did they, you know, tape guys' cocks to their legs? Did they, I mean, what did they do to stop men from having sex? Oh, wait.
Nothing. I mean, like, that's right.
There's always been sex.
So this really comes down to sexism. I mean, that's really,
it comes down to babyism, weirdly. Because it doesn't even deal with, like, birth control really doesn't talk about sex. That's the whole thing. It's like, all birth control says is that if I don't want to have a baby right now, and I want to have sex.
It's just giving you control over your life.
Over when you want to have a baby. Right. Because men have control. You know, since condoms have been around, men have at least a certain amount of control. And women can't force men to put condoms on. So basically all you're saying is that you're giving women the ability to say, instead of getting pregnant whenever the fuck you decide to have unprotected sex with me, I'm going to decide when I have children.
Well, that's really interesting because it adds into, I mean, I think this is really a confluence of things for conservatives is why they get so worked up about it. First of all, you know, sex they're uncomfortable with.
Right.
They seem to just be the kind of people that are generally uncomfortable with sex, they're generally unsure of themselves, or they're really kinky, but they gotta keep it really private. Or in some way, sex is something that they're definitely shy away from. Then the other thing is, like you said, is control. They definitely have an issue with people having control over their own life. Complete control, complete freedom. They seem to have a misidea of what freedom really is.
It proves God doesn't exist. Like.
There's a heavy aesthetic element to Catholicism, to heavy conservative Protestants. There's an aesthetic side of it. There's this denying yourself pleasure thing.
Right.
And so being able to separate the sex act, which is very pleasurable, from the consequence, having children, is, I mean, in their eyes, it's the devil's perfect tool, because you've basically taken something that should be pure and holy and only used, like the only time you feel good is when you're making a baby. Basically, that's how they see the natural order of things.
So then they have sex, and they feel good, and they don't have a baby, and then they feel guilt. And they just feel guilt and shame.
Right, right. Know? Well, that's the byproduct of that viewpoint, is that, like, if sex is only for procreation, unfortunately, we're monkeys who want to have sex a lot. Yeah. Like, that's just wired
it's
in.
It's natural. It's a natural feeling. It's right. Not, you know, there are certainly people that take it too far or get more out of it than they, you know.
But it's wired into both genders.
But it's certainly wired into both genders, and it's certainly, you know, you can't stop people from having sex.
Right.
You know, I mean, and when you try to, you have things like, you know, priests diddling little boys, because it's just unnatural to keep that urge out there. Okay, so I totally, you know.
Right, so what birth control does, though, is it takes away the natural consequences of pleasure, of following, you know, like, again, this is an aesthetic idea of denying. You deny yourself temporal pleasure for eternal gratification. That's the whole
concept.
You're
giving up your power to another institution at that point.
But that makes all complete sense.
Churches are totally fine with that. They always say, believe in us.
That's why they're doing it.
They take that way.
And that makes perfect sense until you bring Viagra into the mix. And Viagra, they're perfectly fine with pleasure for men. It seems like you have your Rush Limbaughs. I mean, they're going to the Marianas Islands or whatever to get the young girls. They're, you know, they're getting busted in, the guy down in Louisiana that gets, like, busted for prostitution, and he got reelected by 70% of the vote in a Republican area. I mean, you know, that's fine. They just don't seem to be that upset about those kind of things, but they're fighting against birth control. So I think that's part of the equation. But everything you said is part of the equation. But then you add in women, and they seem to have a very different, you know, standard for women than they do for men in that arena of pleasure versus...
Well, it's a patriarchal structure. I mean, like, these are patriarchal institutions, and they always have been. They're run by men. They're, you know, so you're not talking about an institution that gives a shit about the female viewpoint. Like, what do they do with women? They make them into nuns. They desexualize them. They put them in, you know, this big black thing, and they lock them away where nobody ever sees them again. Like, if you dedicate your life to the church as a woman, your life is essentially, I mean, specifically the Catholic Church, your life is over.
And that's a draw, though, because then they don't have to make any life decisions. They don't, everything's taken out of their hands, and they just go about and do. I mean, there are some personalities, both male and female, that definitely really, it's a relief for them for someone else to just take over and make all their decisions.
Right.
Life is hard, life is complicated, there's a lot. Freedom is scary.
I'm not shitting on people who choose to.
I'm just pointing out that
if you're a driven male and you go that, you know, I want to be a member of the church, you can probably do whatever the fuck you want, because especially if you get to the, you know, kind of bishop
within
and above stage, you can do whatever you want. You have a bodyguard. You have a bubble around you that protects you from common interference. And so basically all you have to have is a public persona that says, I don't have sex. And then your private persona can be anything.
Right. So this is a war from the Catholic Church, mostly. And like I said, the nurses seem to be fine with the violence compromise, but the bishops are still throwing their fit and throwing their fit. What's interesting, as I find, is that as of the Catholic congregation in this country, if you poll them, the vast majority of them are not in line with the Catholic bishops at all. However, if you poll Protestants and evangelicals, they're right there with them. So we actually have a situation here where Protestants
and evangelicals
are following Catholics.
Right.
They would have never, in the 60s, you know, they didn't want to elect JFK because he was in the pocket of the Pope.
Right.
I mean, it's just hilarious to me. But so you know.
That's where we get to Rush Limbaugh. Rush Limbaugh.
Well, not quite yet. First, we got to have Congress step in. And Congress says, okay, well, this is clearly a big topic, so we need to talk about it. Let's put a friggin' panel together. Let's have an investigation committee, and we're going to talk about birth control.
For the 15th millionth
right.
time.
Because, you know, there's nothing better than... So my favorite part of this, and everyone's seen these pictures, but, you know, of all of the people that testified, there was almost all men. There was, ended up being, I think, two women total that testified.
Don't these guys have PR firms?
But it's just man after man, and they're all old, white, baby boomer men.
Right.
You know, who are sitting here telling women that they should just keep their legs shut, that, you know, that we shouldn't provide birth control for them because if they have sex and get pregnant, that's what's supposed to happen. So they have this huge panel, and then there is one woman they allow to testify.
Right.
A lot of people petitioned
to testify and were denied. A lot of women,
right.
The Democratic women like Barbara Boxer and Jackie Speier and you know, Feinstein and a lot of these congressional women, you know, went for not just Congress, but senators, obviously both. They came out and publicly said that, you know, women should be on these panels, blah, 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 and they were denied. I mean, nobody was really allowed to come through. The one that was able to come was this Sandra Fluke. And she wasn't testifying for birth control for herself. She was talking about a friend who had a medical situation and needed birth control in order to pertain. It wasn't so she could have more sex. It wasn't for procreation.
She liked to get raped and, you know, not have a baby.
Okay, so she was providing, admittedly.
Let's talk about the real thing first. Let's get into what Rush Limbaugh is crazy.
She's providing anecdotal story to basically show this is not about sex. Like, that's, she's essentially trying to change the tone of the conversation where, you know, if you have a bunch of men running the conversation, all they're going to talk about is birth control is about sex. And she's saying birth control medication, especially now, is so little about sex. It's usually about regulation, about regulating menses, about... I can't believe I just said menses.
menstruation.
Fuck up! It's about, you know, and then, like, in this specific case, it could have prevented or at least regulated these ovarian cysts, apparently, you know. So there's a lot of non-sexual...
Oh, yeah, we have a friend who's on it and told me a few times. It's just, it gives you 2 periods a year, and it's the best thing she's ever had.
Right. It depends
on how hard we're guys.
That's the point.
Exactly.
Men don't understand.
Let's not lose the irony that we're three men talking about birth control.
Right.
So Sandra Fluke did this thing.
So Sandra Fluke got up and told this story.
Yeah, she was one of the few women that even talked.
Right.
And that was still too much for Rush Limbaugh, and he had to attack this woman. Now, go ahead, and let's let Suburban out here tell everyone exactly how Rush Limbaugh felt this woman needed to be taken down a notch.
Exactly. So he says that because this woman is pro-birth control, that she's a slut, that she basically has having so much sex that she needs to spend so much money on birth control that she has to have the government pay for it. The government paying for it makes her a whore. So he first calls her a slut and then goes on to say that because the government's paying for it, she's therefore a whore. You know, like,
it's just disgusting.
This argument doesn't work on any level.
No.
And it doesn't make any sense on any level.
It only makes sense is if you're a misogynist. Is if you,
right.
I mean, it's especially with a guy that takes, you know, is renowned for having been caught with bags of Viagra going to the Marianas Islands or whatever. He's a, you know, an OxyContin pill popping addict at one point. You know, he did go to rehab. Hopefully he's cured. That's a nasty, it's a nasty addiction. I don't wish it on anybody. But certainly this is someone who has used pharmaceutical industry, has used pills to regulate his physical condition for whatever reason, whatever pain. He certainly is not ignorant of this.
And that, I mean, okay, so that breaks down the whore argument. If that's the definition of whore, then most of us are whores. Anybody who's had any kind of sexual aid through medication is a whore.
Right.
I don't think that definition.
No, I think he's wrong, but he did call himself a whore.
I mean, do the one finger at you and four at me kind of thing.
Yeah.
But he's doing the oldest trick in the book. He's basically just going, like, she's a woman. If I call her a slut and a whore, her credibility among men, which is basically, again, that's his only audience.
His audience, yeah.
Like, he's only speaking to his audience, and I mean, this is something we have to be conscious of, is he's doing these things consciously. He's not, like, that's what makes him so evil, is that he knows what the fuck he's doing. He's
for his audience. And you gotta remember, he's cultivated to a radio audience that came out through, like, the 80s and 90s. So this was interesting that I kind of wanted to get into with him, is now that it's blown up a little bit. So Rush Limbaugh did this, it blew up, there's been a firestorm on social media, and as we've seen in previous things, and within really the last year, there really has been a coalescing around social media and around the internet to be able to bring visibility quickly and band people together and put pressure, political pressure on people.
Right.
We've seen it with the Topa Pipa, and there's other examples. Now, this is, I think, a next example of this. Is Limbaugh's operating in a paradigm of, here, everyone that I'm talking to, it's listening to my airwaves, are my, what does he call them? My ditto heads.
And they want
to
listen.
My people.
He calls them that?
He calls his people ditto heads.
Which is a whole...
Which is fine. It's been around a long time. It's an old joke, really. I mean, you know it. Yeah, it's insane. But so he thinks he's always talking to them. So he fears no repercussions from this because
they want to tune in.
Right. But now it seems like with the internet, this is not heard just by that anymore. It's heard by everybody. And there are people that just sit and listen and monitor, you know, Between Media Matters and other organizations, or just an average person who's just sick of this and wants to listen to it and find his lies and his manipulations. So it blows up on the internet and it becomes a huge, big thing. And he starts losing sponsors.
Right.
Now, how much? He lost 8 today, yeah.
So he's a smart man. He's a businessman. I mean, he's always built this whole thing about advertisers, about making money, about being able to cultivate this hateful, fearful, ignorant audience in order for him to make a ton of money. I mean, that's really all he's ever been about. He's not really
analogous to the church and everybody else and just listen to us and give us money.
Well, he's created a religion. I mean, that's ditto heads. Like, that is the definition of a religion.
And then he gets his shit, he feeds on the church, and it goes right up the roof. And then insert Fox News.
I mean, how off guard has he been caught by this? He didn't. I mean, he's got to not.
I think very. I mean,
because he clearly crossed the big line.
He's done this before too.
This is not the first time. He said worse things.
More people are going to tune in now. Why does he get?
Well, that always does seem to happen though. They say awful things and nothing happens, but then he does one thing that just happens to cross the line at the right period, at the right time, with the right kind. I mean, all this is going down in the context of an election year, of a primary for the Republicans, of this visceral hatred of Obama for all sorts of reasons. I mean, from his politics to his skin color to the D by his name to his age to all of these things. You know, there's all these people that hate him for whatever reason, they've jumped on this birth control thing because, like we said, the economy is getting better and they're running out of all these things. And Limbaugh jumps in full bore, you know, and he can't back up. So he gets called on this, he loses sponsors, and then what's he do? So really, what does Rush Limbaugh go, oh, wait, maybe I crossed the line. Maybe I should walk these back a little. Maybe I should clear. I was taken out of context. I don't really think, what
happened? He doubles down. When everybody comes back and says, like, you really, stepped across the line, you're taking a very obvious shot at this woman's credibility because the argument she's making is not the argument you're making. She's making an argument that medication for diseases or medication to regulate, not medication for sex, and you're basically going, what's the oldest trick in the book? I'm going to attack her gender, I'm going to call her a slut and a whore, and just completely, disembowel her among
the women. And as that's pointed out to him how wrong it is, here's the actual testimony, and he's proven over and over again how wrong, and he starts losing boycotters. Don't you think at that point, he's clearly overextended, he's a smart man, he's built this big business, he's clearly got to recognize that he's in trouble here a little bit.
I think he's so insulated that at this point he doesn't realize that, like, no, you've crossed the line. Because, again, his immediate response is to back it up. He does the frost to freeze line. Like, his response.
I think his goal is to find those issues and blow them up so we can get more listeners. We're going to listen to it now. You're even mentioning that you get emails from the RNC to get what they're doing. I know, but now there's going to be more people monitoring what he's going to do. What does he do when they see those numbers?
Well, see, that's what
he makes more fucking money.
That's what's interesting here is that basically you're talking, because he's talking to an audience that doesn't listen to him, there's this backlash of people who don't listen to him and don't support him now not supporting his supporters. And that's the first. This is one of the first times I've
ever seen. Said this is a business for him.
And what he just said is great. This is the other thing I want to bring into this. With, like, we're talking about Limbaugh and why he's doubling down on this. Why he's bringing up the foster freeze comment about aspirin. He's doubling down on aspirin between girls' knees things. I mean, he's clearly out to lunch. But he's
got, basically to get this in. I don't think we've actually said it. When they come back at him, he basically just calls her. He doubles down, does the foster freeze line, and calls her a prostitute, and says that because we're paying for your birth control, anybody who gets their birth control paid for government money should videotape themselves having sex and post it online.
Yeah.
He actually says that. Like,
so he takes it to the inevitable
end. He takes it to the next level. Yeah. Like, he doubles down and goes, like, this is not only batshit, it's super batshit, and I'm going to say you're every woman in the world who's getting birth control is a whore, and a prostitute and should post videos themselves.
It's just, and obviously it's disgusting. Obviously it's so wrong.
It's insane.
And if you are going to defend his first statement, if you are going to, that is where you have to go. If, I mean, but let's get back, like you said, this hasn't happened before. Limbaugh's been doing this for a long, long time, and he's never had to back down. Of anybody, I follow Limbaugh, follow politics for a long time. If he ever, nobody, everyone backs down to Limbaugh. No, right. Limbaugh's never apologized. He's never backed away from any statement he's ever said.
He's completely truthful.
Yeah, and like, so you'll have a congressman that'll say something, and or they'll say, Rush Limbaugh said this yesterday. What do you agree with that? And a Republican congressman will say, oh, I don't agree with that. That's outrageous, da 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 da. And then a day later, or 2 days later, he comes back and he says, you know, I was out of line to criticize Rush Limbaugh. I mean, this has been going on from the 90s, but through 2000 and the W. Bush years. I mean, it was prevalent a lot. We could go through a list of congresspeople and senators who have bowed to Limbaugh's pressure, you know, after criticizing him walking it back.
Well, that's what I hope this is I hope this is what we're seeing is a cultural shift where you're starting to see, like, again,
exactly
the Tea Party.
At.
Yeah, sorry.
I was handing it to you.
Because the Tea Party, like, is starting to lose favor. You know, these are people who are not only popular, they're popular enough to get fucking really elected. You know, they basically had a huge part. I mean, they were a tiny, tiny minority in the party, and they got almost all of their candidates elected. And same thing with Rush Limbaugh was a huge part of that. And now you're starting to see a backlash to that, where even the super conservative people are going, I have a wife, dude. Like, I don't necessarily want to have 45 kids. Like, he's denigrating women to be way below second-class citizens. He's basically saying any woman who has sex not for procreation
baby
is a slut and a whore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
right.
I have a real problem with that.
I do too.
You know, like,
I mean,
that's one of those things.
Does,
of, that's not only, I mean, it's so heavily biased in the male's favor of, like, we just don't do that to men. You know, like, men go out and fuck a lot before they get married, and there's never any, like, well, you're going to wear a black tuxedo when you get married? You know, like, yes, I'm going to wear a black fucking tuxedo when we get married. That's why men wear black when we get married, you know, because we're fucking dogs. The problem is that, like, we should allow women to be that or not be that if they so choose. Not all men are fucking dogs. Not all women are fucking
saints.
You're
here, you know?
You know, like...
Totally agree. It seems to me that they're not really interested in women who are thoughtful, intelligent, make good cogent points, or bring an actual argument to the table to contribute to a decision or to contribute to a... They want...
Stepford wives.
Yeah. They want a body. They want a mute. They want a pretty girl with a rock sponsor on her head who's willing to get naked whenever they feel like they need it. It's not always
about a baby when they fucking wanted or needed it.
It's all true. I want to get back real quick. I want to get back to Limbaugh and how he's handling the situation and how. So Limbaugh's always kind of been a flagship of the modern conservative movement. Where Limbaugh goes, everybody else seems to slowly follow, or he sees where everyone's going and tries to jump in the front. You know, he's always trying to capitalize on whatever the latest, you know, passionate movement part of, you know,
it's a controversy monster.
It's a controversy monster, but he's always tried to keep himself triangulated in the middle of where the fire is, where the battle is going on, right? And so I think it's very interesting that, you know, and I saw this coming before Limbaugh stepped in this, because I feel like...
Are you calling him Limbaugh from now on?
Limbaugh?
No, he's, you know, he's formally like Limbaugh.
Like, Limbaugh. He's like a little baby.
He is.
A baby with a cigar. He should play the E-Train baby.
It sounds like Jabba the Hutt, Limbaugh the Hutt. Yeah.
So I've seen this crest of this Tea Party wave, this modern conservatism, that's really been started... You know, since the 70s and the 80s, it's been slowly building, getting crazier and crazier and crazier through the 90s. You know, Clinton obviously drove them even crazier. The 9/11 happened, and they lost their minds a little more. W. Bush, you know, did his thing, and in the end, you know...
I think he was the nadir. He was the epitome of that movement.
Absolutely, and it seems to be falling back, and I think that this Limbaugh situation is going to be a very big... You know, point in that decline, that crest. I kind of liken it back to when, you know, Hunter Thompson
60s, yeah,
the high watermark of the 60s. It feels like the 2008 election or the 2010 midterm election, where the Tea Partiers won a bunch of stuff, and it was looking like that was that crest. That was that peak.
The high watermark.
That high watermark, and it is coming crashing down faster and faster. And I think Limbaugh has just stepped in and is accelerating that.
Yeah.
And I don't understand. Like, he is so smart and been so good at this for 30 plus years. He has never, ever, I've felt like, walked out on a limb like this and just continued to walk off the plank. you know, part of it, I think, like I said, is he's not used to the internet and the social media organizing that's going on.
That's,
not least to how quick the backlash is and how quick they can get to the sponsors and how quick those sponsors will decide to pull out within hours at times.
You people don't waffle anymore.
No, it's not weeks. It's not. You don't have time to get to them and talk them out of it anymore. It's like boom, boom, boom. These just start falling.
Yeah.
And so, in a way, his own success over 35 years, maybe that's the point. His own success over 35 years, his own ability to continue to lead this movement, to be in the thick of it, to affect, to get, you know, senators and congressmen to kowtow to him, that he's gotten to some point where he really is, you know, displaying complete hubris, complete just, you know,
it's over Iceland,
over, yeah, to the point where he's walked himself off a cliff. Of all people, Rush Limbaugh has actually taken the movement where it should have been a long time ago, but he, in a way, has kept it off.
Well, he fucked up. He actually said what they would actually think.
Right. No, I think that's what happens. I think it happens to everybody. I think this is just, we're watching it happen to them for once instead of having it to us, because it's been happening to us for a long time.
For decades.
The high watermark of the 60s is the liberal high watermark. So yeah. We've been kind of.
And by us, you mean enlightened, thoughtful,
yes.
Educated, thoughtful, you know, left leaning.
People who give a shit.
Right.
That the high watermark of us going down was also the low watermark of them coming up.
Absolutely.
You know, in the 80s you have us going down and Republican, right. You know, like some conservative fucktard.
Like our wave crest was like Carter, you know. Like,
right. You know, in a big bad way,
sure.
Carter. Because, like, I mean, that's the wave breaking.
Right.
That's the wave, like, hitting the fucking beach
right.
And just, like, I have this great idea. Why don't we look into alternative energy and, you know, maybe some kind of social consciousness? You're the worst president ever, you peanut farmer motherfucker!
Oh, and then he was weak on Iran, right?
Oh my god! You know,
just like Reagan was a few years later.
He was weak on Iran. He didn't start a war. Like, that's what the man didn't do. Anyway.
So look at the parallel now.
Carter's a
great Reagan sold him guns.
And so Bush is the kind of conservative Carter. He's that whole thing of, he's the wave kind of hitting its peak, and then his last 2 years, Bush has that kind of
He woke up.
He seems to wake up and, like,
and he did good things those last 2 years. He really.
I think he sees the wave cresting because he's on the top of the wave. You know,
he prevented, like, the country from going into the Great Depression, Second Great Depression.
Well, hopefully.
Well,
yeah.
He started that trend, and then Obama getting elected continued. I want to bring it back to birth control, though. If we bring it back to birth control, it's really
that is where this started.
So here we are. We got all these wars and George Bush. We got this economic crash. And none of this stops the crazy modern conservatism. None of this is able to turn that fucking tide. You know, we've
right.
got illegitimate wars. We've got, you know, all kinds of... We've got the outing of a CIA agent. We've got... I mean,
twice, right?
Just constant, just the stream of awful, horrible, borderline treasonous things. And people, lots of people have died. And it's on TV. You know, and it's Vietnam on TV was the Iraq War. And all of a sudden, these wars continue going on. And you've got the economic crash based on the deregulation of Wall Street. You've got all these horrible things happening. And still, in 2010, they elect all these Tea Partiers and all these crazy right-wing people that want to take up and up another notch, keep going up another notch. And they do all this stuff, and they get power, and they're battling Obama through deficit, and Obama's playing on their playing field for a long time with the deficit reduction, and all of that goes on. And then we get back in 2012, and a discussion about providing access to birth control is what's going to take down the modern conservative movement. That's going to be the thing that finally brings down Rush Limbaugh. Of all things, he's out there promoting, and, you know, 5 years ago, he's out there promoting nuking the Middle East,
yeah.
And that doesn't do it. But then he talks about a woman who's taking the pill as a slut, and suddenly, you know,
well,
why does our country
before?
Do that? Why does our country always shy away from the battles on the real affronts, the real issues that are going on, and instead end up taking the person down on some stupid, old-time, dumb, you know, thing? I don't understand. I don't understand why birth control is what is the silver bullet here.
Well, I think because it's such a passe argument. Because, I mean, again, he's not making a moral or ethical argument. He's essentially saying women should not have access to birth control, full stop. And I'm not even going to tell you why.
No, I,
you know,
yeah,
like,
I get that.
That's essentially what he's doing. And, like, that's an argument from 40 years ago. You know, and, like, it just doesn't make any sense.
I think that's
really what the problem is that he doesn't make any sense. And so because he's now sounds like a crazy person instead of just this insanely opinionated person, he's crossed that line.
So somehow, maybe with the mainstream
media...
Why
is this... Do you think this is going to bring them down and somebody else is just going to say, oh, he was crazy here, listen to me now?
Yeah, exactly. But it might not be as crazy.
No,
like,
Rush Limbaugh is
super
different,
crazy.
Okay? He
right.
is...
He has that ability.
He is a big,
right.
huge heart... If Limbaugh goes down,
right.
the whole thing
else.
Is brought down a notch. Everything. Mm. All of these guys are discredited. the whole AM talk radio, not at least between independents, modern, normal citizens, not, they're always going to have their core 27% of crazy listeners. There's always 27% on either side that are fucking batshit crazy.
There's a number
out
on
to
this?
Lunch, of course. Poll after poll after poll.
Yeah, it's a bell curve.
It comes down to 27% every time. And they're needed. They're the goalposts of where rational, pragmatic thought of how our country should go is at. If they're here and, you know, right and left, they got there, they know. Now we know where the playing field
the catamarans,
is.
Catamarans, yeah.
You know, it's perfect. You know, it's wonderful that they're going to be there. But the point is that they weren't at 27%. You know, during the, like, the 2000s, you know, they were at, like, 55, 60%. I mean, Bush got reelected.
Well, I think that you may have answered, I mean, your own question, because where's the political leader for Rush to Back? Because I think because the party lacks a strong leader, you know, we have the Santorum, but Rick Perry's a strong
But Santorum represents exactly, right? But Santorum represents exactly what they are. That's the problem with Santorum. It's not
but
that he's crazy.
It's that
he is the perfect embodiment of modern conservatives.
Right.
So it's not so
but
much
he doesn't represent the whole party. That's the whole thing. Is you're starting to see the Republican Party fracture in the way the Democratic Party has been fractured for 40 fucking years.
And that brings
I think you've hit it on the head.
And then how much of the birth control thing and all this we're talking about leads to Olympia Snowe this week backing out in Maine. She's one of the last moderate Republicans. She's backed out and she even says, I can't work in this toxic environment of the Senate anymore, this partisanship.
They pushed it too far.
And they've pushed it too far where their moderates are back. And so there's just these dominoes falling just in the last few weeks, and it seems to have started with this birth control thing.
I think it ended with the birth control.
Okay, that's
right. That's the straw. Right.
It's the straw. It's just funny to me that in this country and in history and whatever I've read, it seems that the straw is always something just absurdly silly.
I think that's a great point. You've hit the nail on the head there. This is a combination of factors where in our lifespan, I mean, in mine at least, I was born in 1980, I've never seen a weak Republican Party. They've always been fucking monster.
Right.
From Reagan all the way through, even when they lost, they barely lost, and they fucking fought.
Yeah.
The flip side of that, I've never seen a strong Democratic Party until kind of Obama, where you start to see kind of a rebirth of this liberal movement. And I mean, I really do think we're at the point where we need a third. Where both parties need a fracture enough that we generate a third party.
Well, I think it's kind of always gone this way. I think things move to the right and move to the left.
Oh, absolutely.
Slowly,
absolutely.
And I think as the Republican Party is out in the wilderness, like they will be for most likely, you know, the American people are unpredictable, but they generally, in the end, do the right thing. I think, you know, right now the Democrats are a very centrist party. I mean, if you took this party, you know, during the Reagan era, a third of current Democrats would be Republicans. And a third
Absolutely.
Of current Republicans would be the laughing stock crazies in a bar talking
they
about.
They wouldn't even be anywhere near, right?
So we're going to start going back, and you're going to see the moderates and the Democrats. You know, there's going to be more and more liberals that get elected farther left, and they're going to pull the left, and you're going to see the right wing kind of stay out here crazy for a while. Then they're going to have their Tory moment or their Democrat moment. You know, their Bill Clinton centrist moment at some point, and then they'll get that candidate. But it's interesting when you talk about Limbaugh, like he doesn't have that candidate to get behind because. You know, he
you
never really,
or vice
Santorum
versa.
Would be,
like that's the thing is, like he doesn't have a candidate's approval either.
That's
you
true.
Know, like the what's his name Utah guy is Mitt Romney.
Utah,
him and Limbaugh are not big fans of each other.
No.
You know, like
either with Limbaugh
he's
and McCain,
the strongest Republican.
Either with Limbaugh and McCain.
No, I know.
I mean, he was all over McCain.
Yeah, but so, it's not the same.
So what did McCain do to get Limbaugh on his side? He nominated Palin, right? And that brought Limbaugh everybody on board. So
which makes no.
So let's can we put
and committed political suicide for McCain?
Can we put birth control to bed?
Yeah, birth control.
Wow.
Like, that's what we're talking about.
And it's like $10 a month. I mean, really?
Right. This conversation is not about birth control. It never was.
No,
it's conversation is really about. This insanely conservative religious side of the Republican Party finally, maybe, I mean, again, big maybe on this, it looks like to our overly optimistic eyes, they've taken a step too far.
Right, yeah.
And that even the people in their own party are finally going,
an effective Limbaugh boycott, a key moderate Republican retiring, putting the Senate back in play for Democrats. And all of this on the straw of birth control has accelerated the decline of this party.